Good morning, Achan and everybody. Yesterday, you mentioned about three best qualities of the Sammasambuddha. They are Panya, purification, and Mahakaruna. So I am wondering that why is not Metta, but Mahakaruna?
Was Buddha not the best friend for all, forever? To be Kalyana Mitta, there is the word Mitta. See? So it is the friendliness for anyone who is kind and has good wishes for everyone. But it's common to everyone. We can have that too, right? To be friend, to be great friendly, good friend to everyone. But what about Buddha? His Panya realized the danger of samsara. So from being a bodhisattva, he developed parami in order just to help the others too, because they are in what? The danger of not understanding the truth of this moment at all. That's why besides the metta, it is mahakaruna. Yeah. When he went to any place to help people to understand, even before death, he went far along way to help or to condition the panya for Supatta, the last savaka, to understand the truth. Everything can be considered carefully, and we begin to understand that before there can be the understanding of whatever appears now, what will be conditioned to support the understanding of what we have learned, to really understand what we are talking about, like seeing right now. No matter how long or how much we talk about it, it depends on the gradual understanding to know what can support or make the inclination little by little towards that which now sees. And even there is the understanding, intellectual understanding about everything like seeing, hearing, and so on. But they are hidden by ignorance, so thick, so sticky. So how can there be that which can open up the truth of it if there is not closer and sotka getting to understand this moment as not self? So when there is seeing right now. It doesn't mean that there is no seeing at all. But what about the understanding of seeing? We think we learned a lot from theory or his words that it's not self. But what is meant by not self? Not just by hearing that it's not self, but now it sees. And its characteristic is that which arises to see and then fall away instantly. If that cannot be directly experienced, how can there be the eradication of seeing now as no one at all? So each word should be studied carefully, no matter we just talk about everything in life more and more, very often. It's not the object to be tired of, but to know that how much there is no understanding of realities right now as it is. That's why the more we hear about seeing, it does mean that there can be the enlightenment of seeing as it is just now. But learn to understand so far to go to understand. So it's now, see, but it cannot be understood without the teachings of the Buddha. And even it's now, and there's hearing about the truth of it, it's still something like table and thing. So it has to be conditioned little by little, developed from understanding of whatever appears. That's why we come back again and again to this moment, to know how much ignorance is there and how less the understanding is now. But it can develop little by little, not by intention, not by the self, not by anything, but by understanding only. And when understanding is very little, how can you know that it understands? See, no one think or take it from hearing that it's me, but actually, Asava is there. So who can prevent having ignorance and the idea of self? Unknowingly, it doesn't mean that we have to say, this is not self, or this is the self. Not necessary, because realities perform their function, each one, as it is. Manasikara, or sadda, or sati, or viriya, and so on. So many things unknown until it's the moment of beginning to experience it well, and not well enough when it's not vipassana jnana, but it begins to be different from moments before hearing the teachings. So it's so truthful to know whether it's now it pretty well or not, to what degree. When there is no awareness at all, can that reality appear well, because it arises and falls away in split seconds. No one, nothing. And this is the point of to born to understand the teachings or not, depending on conditions and how much there can be understanding of the teachings in this life and other life, on and on and on. Very, very natural. See, natural. Is it now natural? Or I? Not as it is yet. But it is as it is just right now. So depends on understanding only. Who can do anything? Not at all. So it arises to be this, attachment, aversion, ignorance, conceit, and whatever it is, to be known as not self when there is right understanding enough. As it is, this is very difficult, very hard to get, as it is right now. Like yesterday, we talked about the three kinds of dukkha, right? And what dukkha is now? Is there any dukkha now? When it does not appear, you cannot tell. But at the moment when it's there, and the reminder is that, what kind of dukkha is now? So now, what kind of dukkha?
Viparinama dukkha.
Sankhara dukkha, unseen, unknown. Sankhara dukkha. And the dukkha can be known sometime. And viparinama dukkha, if there is no hearing of the teaching, no considering at all, who knows from moment to moment, it is viparinama dukkha. The craving for pleasant feeling. So it's not the matter to change, but to understand, to consider. By no self, no one, more and more difficult, more and more subtle. So we can get closer to understand Buddha from his word. Is that this, please?
Ajahn just mentioned a moment ago that ditti, wrong view, the idea of self, is not natural.
Is it not a reality?
It is a reality. Mm-hmm. But Ajahn said that it was not natural when there's self.
Because of the self makes it not natural.
In how?
Intention should be that which is another. But wrong understanding twists it to I'm trying.
Right.
Just a little. That's why consider the words carefully until it becomes the right understanding which can lead to getting closer to understand the reality and the Buddha.
It's natural for wrong view, for ditti to arise, but the nature of ditti the characteristic of ditti is that it tries to change or has the perverted idea of what arises, and it leads to wrong practice that tries to have something else arise or tries to do something with the idea of self. So this is what she meant, that as you say, it's natural, it's bound to arise. Yeah. But when there is the idea that there can be awareness of a different object or there can be the selection of an object, this is what is meant by not natural.
Yeah. Actually, wrong view cannot see what's actually natural, right?
It's natural that different dharmas arise that are conditioned and anatta.
Right.
But it, because of it, has a perverted idea at that moment. It sees everything in an unnatural way.
Right. But that seeing unnaturally is natural.
Yes.
Right.
Ajahn just mentioned about the experiencing well. It is with understanding or any moment without understanding for experiencing well?
Like now, we're considering that it's only hardness that's touched, but does that hardness that's experienced appear well?
No.
Or it's just an idea about it? So there's just thinking about an idea, beginning to understand a little bit about the hardness, but it's not directly experienced, so it doesn't appear well. So it only appears well when it's not the object of thinking, but there is direct awareness of hardness at this moment, then it's well.
Direct awareness, but with understanding?
With understanding. It has to be
wave.
With understanding.
Ah, okay.
Moments of satipatthana has to be direct understanding and direct awareness at that moment.
So when we talk about direct awareness, it is taken for granted that it includes understanding as well.
I'm thinking that some mental state can experiencing the object well, but may be without the understanding about the characteristic as not self or, I
yes.
don't know.
Seeing consciousness experiences visible object, for example, and so the mental states that arise with seeing consciousness also directly experience visible object, but we are just using the term appearing well to refer to moments of awareness and understanding.
Just to clarify what Ajahn means.
Does any reality appear right now?
No.
Just to be reminded that we live in the world of concept and the idea of self quite a long, long time ago, and it will keep on being like this without understanding. So just one word, well, if there's no understanding, there's doubt about it. How well? It's hard. I experience it. He said, well, not at all, because hardness arises and falls away all the time in each split second. And it's good to know how much ignorance is there, not away from this moment.
Can we say that appearing well is another way of saying appears as it truly is? That is what happens when there is awareness and understanding of a Dhamma. The Dhamma is seen as it truly is.
I love the center in the middle.
I'm saying that we use the term appearing well to mean the same as is seen as it truly is.
Okay.
A Dhamma appears well. A Dhamma is seen as it truly is. It's the same meaning.
So known as it truly is. It's understood as it truly is.
Okay.
And that is the function, actually, of panya, jetasika. But again, in the text, satipatthana is used as a reference to moments of panya.
Ajahn, can I ask you about one aspect of citta, is the being prompted or not?
Asking about sasankarika and asankarika cittas.
Sorry, I don't know Pali words.
Prompted and unprompted.
Yeah, prompted or not prompted. And I can't, as my point of view that, for example, when I lie listening to Dharma and I go here with the some condition that Tom helped me to come here, so it means that it's being prompted? It means that I'm interested in learning Dharma, but or listening Dharma today. So it means that at that time, at that moment, it was caused by the other factor.
Do you ask about asankarika and sasankarika?
Yes.
They are gone.
Yes.
Yeah. So even in the first Vipassana Jnana, that is not known at all. So what about now? Just learn to know that some citta is weak and some citta is strong, with attachment or without attachment. And we cannot measure how strong it is or how weak it is at all. So we cannot say, or try to find out and make it known as this or that. But the way it is no self. This is the most important. Days and days pass on without understanding of reality and think about appearing well. See, it cannot be from thinking, but from understanding that there is no self. That is the way it is. No matter it is lopa, mulajita, sasankarika, or asankarika, or dosa, or whatever. That's all. Just go. By understanding this, it can support condition to understand this moment, little by little. No rush, no hurry, because it was taken for self from eons and eons ago. How can it go away so fast?
And when we think about a story about, for example, coming here and deciding to come here, how many cittas are there at that time of thinking about coming here? Countless cittas, some strong, some weak. Impossible to tell which ones are sasankarika, which ones are asankarika. So if we think in terms of a situation like that, like, oh, my decision to leave Vietnam and come to Bangkok to hear Ajahn, and is it this Dharma or that Dharma? There will never be the understanding of Dharma now, because we're thinking about that story and trying to fit the Dharmas into the story, not understanding what appears now.
So why we have to know about the this characteristics of citta is being prompted or not?
To support the understanding of no self, little by little, gradually, by understanding, not by I or self. So we can see different degrees of understanding. For intellectual understanding, understanding from hearing, from book, how much there is understanding of what we heard. See, and that is only intellectual understanding. And it's not just hearing and thinking and thing that one understand. The more one hear, the more one think about it, about sasankhari or asankharika. It's not like that at all. But it has to be the moment of whenever any word is heard, that is not self. Citta is not self. Seeing now is not self. That's the way to have more understanding of the truth. Otherwise, it takes one away to know the words about that which cannot appear now because the condition is not enough to have such a degree of panya. Even we talk about sasankharika. When is sasankharika?
But what is that?
When it's very weak, see, and it needs something to condition it, like advertisement or friends or whatever. Different from you have your own condition to just come to hear the Dhamma, no matter who will not come and who asks you not to come. It's just strong enough to know asankharika. But when, if my friend does not go with me, I will not go at all. That is asankharika, see? Just see very roughly.
So Achan, like when in the discussions and Achan asks, is there seeing now? Is it me? And then there can be the consideration at that moment that it's not me, then that citta would be satsangkarika, right?
Again. Each situation, whether it is satsangkarika or sankarika,
but that very moment, I mean,
it does not support to have the direct understanding of this moment, because even the first Vipassana Yana cannot understand the sasankarika or asankarika.
Even the Vipassana Yana cannot have. So at what level it can be understood?
Again, what level? We talk about many levels, but when that does not appear, who knows what level? Even right now, what level of understanding hardness now as yourself?
Otherwise, it's just wanting to pinpoint, wanting to find it, wanting to test out, like, is it chanda now, is it virya now, is it sasankarika, is it asankarika? This is unnatural, because behind it, it is the idea of self trying to find it. So it's a subtle kind of practice at that moment, trying to work out, is this citta right now sasankarika, asankarika? Is it strong? Is it weak? So it's not the moment of understanding what appears naturally now. So that's the distinction. That's what it means about appearing.
But like for all of us, or like Lee, who hears about that for the first time, so like the only thing we have is to give her some indication what that the meaning of sansakarika is.
So that's why, like Ajahn said, we can say just roughly, like if the when the loba is strong, when one just wants something badly, we know that it's asankarika, but when it's weak and one's not really very interested, but it's encouraged, then it's sasankarika. But that's it. But if we then go on to say, now, at this moment when I taste my drink, is it asankarika or sasankarika, then it's going wrong, then it's trying to find it. So there can be rough, approximate understanding, but if one is looking for it or trying to find it or try to work out when I came here, was it strong or weak interest, then it's following the wrong path because it becomes unnatural. self is trying to catch it or get it. A subtle distinction.
So is it probably when you're trying to know the example you gave about the cup, right? It's wrong probably because what is actually happening in that moment is lobha and it's not whatever you're looking for.
And ditti is there too.
Yeah.
It's I who wants to know and I who thinks, the ditti thinks that it can work it out. It's not understanding what appears.
Exactly. It's not the present.
It's the wrong idea that by thinking out this story, it's a bit like reading some text. If one reads some text in order to understand what appears now, it's not right. So it doesn't mean that drinking the water is wrong or reading the text is wrong, but when it's the idea of I can try to pinpoint or find it, then it's wrong.
In any event, at those moments, the attachment itself is not directly appearing. It's just thinking about the attachment that conditions the picking up of the cup, right? It's like talking about what is seen now. Unless there's actually awareness arising, the reality has fallen away and it's only thinking about what has passed. So at best, it's just the story of the attachment and whether or not it might have been prompted or unprompted. Because it can only be known when a reality is the object of awareness and understanding.
And you're supporting the idea that there's an I who can bring about the understanding, right?
That depends on the intention of the individual at the moment. So we can't say for sure, but it could be.
But it's behind that idea of I can be aware and somehow I can catch it and find it so that awareness can arise and know that reality at that moment, however subtle.
We can say that any kind of focusing on realities or an aspect of realities with a view to trying to understand it more is likely to involve an idea of self, yes.
So I know that at the moment when I asking that question, it's also that the lobha mula citta arise. And I cannot, I don't understand about the characteristic at that time. That is the lobha characteristics accompanying with the wrong view and being prompted or not at that time. Yeah. But I cannot, I don't know about that.
It depends. One may just have read the word and not know what it means, so one may be asking what it is, and that is not wrong view at that moment. But it comes back to this moment, and I think that Ajahn's point is what can be known now, what appears now, because now there's just a little understanding, so the nature of what is asankarika and sasankarika, strong or weak, prompted, unprompted, doesn't appear, so what about what does appear now, like the lobha?
I think many of us might feel a little bit put off when there's pointing out a wrong view, but actually it's natural because we are but puttuchana, we're not enlightened beings, so it's bound to happen. So it's just a conditioned dharma and it should be understood and it should not be a source of worry.
Sometimes it's the mana, the conceit that makes it difficult to hear or difficult to ask a question or, oh, now everyone will think I have wrong view or something. It's just mana, something like that. But usually in all these years when I study with Ajahn, when it's pointed out that it's wrong understanding or it's taking one away from the right path or that the question is motivated by something like desire for results or something like this, usually those points are the ones that are most helpful even though at the time one might feel a little disturbed. But for the sake of Dharma, it's really important to raise the questions that are on one's mind and to have these experiences. I'm sure Anina will agree. Have you got a microphone? What do you think, Nina? Like Tom said, it can be a bit off-putting, like if one's told what one said represents wrong view or something like this.
No, I don't think it's off-putting. It's very good as a reminder, because we can't be reminded enough all the time.
Yes.
I think the more understanding grows, the more understanding there is, the less off-put one is by it, because one realizes the importance of it and realizes that ditti arises so, so often.
It's not my ditti. It doesn't belong to me or anyone. I think over the years, some of us have studied with Ajahn for a long time, and those who continue are the ones who are not off-put by whatever is said when it's pointing to the truth. Some people find it so off-putting or there's too much mana, so they disappear because they don't want to hear it. So, and even in the Buddha's time, as we know, some monks couldn't understand the meaning because of too much mana. So it's a wonderful thing if one can hear the truth when it's pointed out and not be put off. It's a great, great blessing to be able to hear that truth when it's pointed out like that.
Can I ask about the wrong view? Let's say at the moment, thinking about the reality that already falling down, then they're thinking about what kind of the reality it is. Maybe it's a dobha or dosa. So are there any wrong view behind the time of thinking about to find out what kind of the reality that already passed away?
Who wants to know at that moment? Because as you say, those realities of long fallen away. So who wants to work it out? Who wants to know what kind of reality it was?
There maybe is the loba that want to know, but I mean...
For sure, definitely. The loba would like to know, and maybe some moments loba with ditti wants to work it out because it thinks that then it couldn't be known or understood, but actually it's gone, so what's gone can't be known anyway. But definitely it's loba that is trying to find it out for me, so to make me wiser. It's not the understanding of what appears naturally. It's trying to work it out, trying to determine what it was in that situation. I'm not just talking about conventional thinking, like everyone might say when they fall over, oh, that was careless or something, but when it's really trying to work out what kind of cheetahs there were at that moment. I think the wrong idea of self is behind those ideas. And definitely loba is not understanding what appears now, because it's all gone. What do you think?
Is understanding you?
No.
But when there is understanding, there is the idea, I should understand more or better. See, it comes in writing. But at moment of hearing, it's the reality which performs its function, each one, like manasikara or panya, is there already. No need to think after that I will develop more, see? So one is trapped with or by ignorance all the time, unknowingly. And if there is no understanding of one is trapped, should one try to get out? That's why from hearing, understanding understands, that's all. And when there is the idea more about how to understand better, that is I again. So it's quite a long, long way to have the understanding of no self completely, little by little. A moment of this, a moment of that. But so many things just arise and fall away, never to return. So it has to, not the idea of self, but it's there for Panya to understand, to know, finally, that it's not self. So people say that I'll try, see, I'll develop after hearing. That's not right. Because even the understanding of this moment is not self, but the self after that comes in.
It's all about the situation or story. But let's say I bring out the other situation like this, like when anger or attached to something, like example, and some moment of consideration, let's say, hey, it is my loba or my dosa, consideration about the idea of non-self there, then it just natural developing or natural consideration about whatever just arise, right? So no problem with that. It just naturally happen.
So then it's like I mentioned, it's when it's just ordinary, like before we heard the Dharma, and then one knows, oh, I got too angry. That wasn't skillful. It's just ordinary kind of thinking, whether it's thinking with any kusala or akusala, but no understanding of Dharma as anatta, but it's just ordinary thinking. It's different from when it's the idea of trying to pinpoint what kind of Dharma was there, and was there anger at each moment, or was there some lobha in between, or then it's like a kind of practice or focusing or trying to find out what kind of reality it was, not understanding anything about this moment at all.
It's not natural. See, it has to be just like this, depending on understanding how much there is understanding of how many things here and now. And this is the way, and that is what it meant, natural. So there can be right understanding of understanding whether it's less or more, anytime. From moment of seeing and moment of touching, what about understanding today, this time, and the other moment? More difficult.
Can I say like this? As long as the understanding not understand the right characteristic of reality or not developing enough, we cannot say this is right or that is wrong, something like that is not. Okay.
It's just thinking and speculating, usually with ignorance and attachment, yes. If it's not, there may not be any kind of wrong practice or wrong idea, may just be saying, oh, that was anger yesterday or something like that. Just ordinary thinking, but usually with ignorance or attachment, because there's no actual understanding, there's no dana, there's no metta.
I have a question. Usually we know that in living being, there's the rupa, which is jivitindriya, rupa that distinguishes from living being and non-living being. So when we see a living person, it's different from a dead corpse. But just now I was looking at these flowers and I was wondering whether it's artificial flowers or real flowers. And there's the difference between real flowers and artificial, but they are not living being anyway. They are conditioned by temperature. So what would make the difference between the two?
Difference in the detail.
We can't say because not enough.
It's like asking what makes the difference between the red one and the white one.
Is it real or not real?
I don't know.
See?
But, yeah.
So it depends on memory. We can see this. So very different memory to remember this and that and that and that.
Okay. That's the memories. Okay.
A little bit confused when there are many things we have to know about the realities right now. And for me, I like to read the detail of cetasika, of citta, or some mental factor, something like this, very detailed. But as my age, so easy to forget about the name. For example, we have a seven cetasika all the way up here with all citta. But sometimes I cannot say fasa, vedana. And now Ajahn help us to understand more and more about the realities right now. And I understand this is the way to understand, lead us to understand the ultimate reality. And a little bit confused when I try to remember fasa is the touching, or vedana, or sometimes I remember what is name. So I can't remember, but easier than really difficult to, when Ajahn said, when we see this is the chair, the table, what reality right now? So touching have the hardest subject, many very difficult. So sometimes some of our friends ask about the Dhamma Citta Sika, and the name is very difficult to understand. So I a little bit curious to understand about this name, so I open the book, read it. So I think something conflict, not too easy. So maybe my understand during three days here with Ajahn. But the first thing I would like to say, I very appreciate with our teacher.
You mean too much to learn, too much to hear, or what? Just one word is enough. Dhamma, not self. Only that. You don't need to remember the names of the all cetasikas, or this and that, ayata and so on. Just remember Dhamma, not self. And whatever is heard, it condition or support the understanding of no self. Rather than try to remember and think that because of the age you cannot remember all the cetasikas, no one here can, I think. If you don't think over it, it's all gone. 24 sopana cetasikas, is it necessary? Then understanding the all Dhamma.
And what is Dhamma? We have to learn more and more and more.
Now,
yes.
What appears now? It's not
Some Abhidhamma teachers are very knowledgeable in all the details, and when they teach, their students have to memorize all the details, all the names, all the cetasikas, all the what arises at what moment and all the intricate points and details, but it's all book knowledge. Because if there's no understanding of, for example, pleasant feeling now, what's the point of learning all the book detail of exactly how it's conditioned and this and that? So that's why with Ajahn I've never learnt all the tables and details and names, but it's only just by reflecting and considering more that gradually one becomes more familiar, but not because of trying to memorize. And we all have, it's the same for all of us. Sanya can't remember everything or all the details. It doesn't matter at all.
About Sanya, I would like to have one point to clarify. So there is Sanya with every citta, not only in this world, in our realm, but also in all other realms of the samsara.
When it says that Sanya and the other six citta seekers arise with every citta, it means with every citta in any realm, any time, past, future, present.
Yeah.
So any time at all for every being in animal realm, hell realm, heavenly realm, arupa realm, always sanya has to arise whenever citta arises.
So sanya arises and marks and remembers the object. When, for example, in our previous life, there were sanya and marks and remembers, but in another life, there are conditions for, you know, the accumulated sanya to remember something. It, by condition, it appears again, isn't it?
All depending on conditions, like in this life, who can remember what was experienced when they were a baby? Just sanya marked and remembered each visible object, each sound, but no conditions for that memory to be known now, because for various reasons. And in the past life, nothing can be remembered about it. But like now, why are the conditions to be interested to hear? Because of previous hearing and considering and understanding with sanya.
For example, in a dream, there might be some, you know, very strange things happening in the dreams, and it's partly caused by something we have met in the reality, but it also, there might be some sanya from before it affects the dream, isn't it?
There's no way of knowing whether what one sees in a dream is based on memory from past life or just made up from present life. No way of knowing.
What we know is because of experiences of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there's going to be dreaming and imagining all sorts of things because of thinking about those experiences.
We all would be interested to know more about previous lifetimes, I'm sure, but it's actually not useful information to have, it's just curiosity.
I'd like to add something about your question about not remembering all the names and all the details. But Ajahn often talks about what can be experienced now, like seeing. So we don't have to worry about remembering names, because it can be experienced now. And when we listen more, we can understand that it is not a self that sees. So no worry about details, just listening when Ajahn talks about whatever can be experienced at this moment, like seeing or hearing.
Thank you, Nina. And just a point. I read many books come from you, or they translate to Vietnamese by Thambach. There are many details. The the confusion is, how can you read the book like this without the self and the name? Yeah.
So it's just little by little that we can learn about the details, yeah. But not a question of remembering all, but little by little it's helpful. It's always helpful, but not all at once. As Ajahn often says, one reality at a time, one word at a time, we can study, but not all at once. So in a book, when you read the book, it can be just no hurry at all.
And when I want to remember many details, so I think it's I first try to get something, maybe wrong way to improve.
It makes life so difficult.
Yeah.
Because then you cling to wanting to know. It makes life more difficult, not necessary.
Thank you.
Just be another kind of loba. Just another kind of loba wanting to collect the details and being disappointed when one forgets them.
And if you were to ask Nina whether she could now remember all those details that she wrote in the book, I'm sure the answer would be no.
I forget too. I forget many names, yes.
One time on a trip in India a long time ago, some friends from America asked Nina some detailed question, and she said, oh, I forget the answer. And they said, how is this possible? You wrote a book with all these details. And I said, well, because it's one thing writing and another thing remembering. Of course. Even Ajahn forgets some details. Everyone does. It's common. It's not important at all if one clings to being the one with good memory that doesn't forget. It's not the right way at all. Or sometimes we make mistakes. Even Ajahn sometimes makes mistakes. But she says, I don't mind at all. We don't want to mislead, but it's just common. It's just the way it is. None of us are the Buddha. It's when one minds, it's again, it's mana, which hinders, gets in the way.
And all the topics, can I say all the topics? Yeah. Like the happen together of our listener. For example, yesterday when we say about Chanda, we use the word English words, interest. So that might help us to understand more clearly about the word interest, have a meaning like holding. So I think it's very useful and very detailed. So Jonathan, can you help us to some more advice about the... Because I think when Kung asks about Chanda topics, you have some advice to him. I remember you said, if you think it's useful, it's good, but you don't think so. I remember like this. Okay. So maybe you can help me more clear about this.
No, I don't have any advice about Chanda, because no one can advise anyone about dhammas. What I remember saying yesterday was the best we can do is to listen to an explanation of the nature and characteristic of the different dhammas and to consider that from time to time. But in terms of trying to find out when it's arising or would it be present if such and such a situation occurs, then I think that's not useful. We can discuss these dhammas that play a role in our daily life, but let's not forget that only some of them appear, not all of them appear to be understood. And those that don't appear, we should not think of how we can make them appear. But gradually, over time, discussing on different occasions, considering in between, things become a bit clearer. That's all we can say.
On another point, I just want to clarify one point in relation to a question Hung asked on the first day in this room. I thought perhaps I'd misheard the question, but her question was, she had read in one book that kusala cheetahs, mahakusala cheetahs, can perform the function of patisandhi, rebirth consciousness. And I just want to clarify and confirm that only vipaka cheetahs can perform the function of patisandhi because it's vipaka cheetah. So as we said, there are 19 cheetahs that can perform the function of patisandhi. We've discussed two are santirana cheetahs without roots. So if it's rebirth in an unhappy, woeful realm, it's performed by santirana cheetah, akusala vipaka. And if it's rebirth in this realm, but one is very handicapped from birth and there are no roots, it's performed by santirana cheetah. So that's two. And then there are 8 kusala vipaka cheetahs, any of which can perform the function of patisandhi. And the reason there are 8 kusala vipaka cheetahs is because they may be asankarika or sasankarika, with understanding or without understanding, with pleasant feeling or with neutral feeling. Who knows now whether the patisandhi cheetah and was and all the bawanga cheetahs, like in deep sleep or in between processes, are with pleasant feeling or neutral feeling. We don't know. We can speculate, but we don't know. And then there are those cheetahs which are the results of rupa jhana cheetahs and arupa jhana cheetahs, the results, the vipaka cheetahs, which can perform the function of patisandhi in rupa brahma realms or arupa brahma realms, but must be vipaka cheetahs. So thanks for pointing that out, Han.
I have back 2 questions about sanya. Sanya is with every cheetah, and also it is in bhavanga cheetah, but I know bhavanga cheetah during deep sleep and chuti cheetah and patisandhi cheetah have the same object. So it means sanya marks and remember the same object.
So because each bhavanga cheetah and also patisandhi cheetah and chuti cheetah is exactly the same kind of cheetah, even though at moment of birth or moment of death it performs a different function, but that cheetah is exactly the same kind of cheetah and it experiences exactly the same object and has the same chetasikas arising with it. So each moment, each cheetah is not the same because it arises and falls away, but it arises, performs the same function. Each bhavanga cheetah experiences the same object. It is accompanied by sanya, which also experiences that object. So each one is the same. So if it's sasankarika from birth, weak from birth, it means every bhavanga cheetah is exactly the same. If it's accompanied by pleasant feeling, it means every bhavanga cheetah is accompanied by pleasant feeling. So marks and remembers same object at each moment.
It's difficult to imagine.
Does sanya play any role in the process of understanding development?
Actually, it's very important role because like now, there's listening, considering about Dharma. If there was no sanya, marking and remembering what was heard and considering. There couldn't be any considering about it. And there can't be any understanding of what hasn't been considered carefully. So even now, whilst listening, Sanya's marking and remembering in order for that kusala sanya to accumulate with panya and sati and other wholesome factors so that understanding can develop. No citta could arise, no panya could arise without sanya.
At the moment of understanding, the sati arise, and the function of sati is remember the wholesomes, and I'm not very clear about this point.
It's a different kind of remembering. Sati is not forgetful of the object, so it attends to the object. It's a different thing from memory, or which recalls by virtue of the mark that has been made. It is able to identify the object. But here, when it's sati, it is not forgetful in the kusala sense of attending to the object. So the word remembering is used, but we have to understand it's really not the same remembering as memory.
Can you remember that Ajahn said what appears now?
Remember the word.
Sorry?
Remember the word.
You can
the
remember
voice.
The words. How can you remember those words?
Sanya.
Sanya. So if there was no sanya that remembered and conditioned thinking about it, then the words are useless. No point in her saying it if it's going to just be completely forgotten. So it's sanya that remembers and conditions considering and understanding of the meaning.
I read something. Strong sanya in the text is said to be one of the conditions for satipatthana, and the four of satipatthana are the conditions.
Without strong, firm sanya of what is object, what is reality, then there cannot be any satipatthana, any direct understanding of those realities, if there hasn't been hearing and considering that what is touched is tangible object now, then no conditions to understand that tangible object. So it depends on sanya to remember, to be aware.
But again, no worry, because it depends on conditions, whether there is strong sanya. So you don't have to worry.
It's kind of a supporting condition, the sanya. Because understanding condition, another understanding, it is the main condition.
It's not a path factor, but we know that without sanya, there cannot be any right considering, any wise reflection, any direct awareness or understanding.
So when talking about the conditions for satipatthana, tiara sanya and satipatthana are mentioned. In that context, what is the meaning of satipatthana? Is it the object of satipatthana, or is it the already arisen satipatthana?
Is satipatthana the word or reality?
Satipatthana,
is
a reality.
Is it just a word or a
reality? Realities.
Reality. When it does not arise, can anyone understand satipatthana as it is?
No.
So is there sati now?
At the moment of kusala.
Understanding.
Or understanding.
Okay. Is it satipatthana?
Not at that level.
Not yet. So without the firm of tira, sanya, can there be condition for sati to arise and be aware of
no.
whatever appears now?
No.
Because they are all anatta. So that is the answer for why doesn't sati arise now as satipatthana yet? Because not enough tira, sanya, of sati, or understanding realities. That's why no one can make it arise at all. That's why no one can make it arise. It depends on tira sanya only.
And tira sanya always means with sati and panya.
Without panya, there cannot be satipatthana at all.
I think many people interpret that tira sanya is just strong remembering. So that's why they make people learn the words. And I remember the discussions with the monk. He also mentioned that satipatthana is a condition for satipatthana. So he understands the meaning of satipatthana in that context as the object. So he thinks that just by thinking about the object, it can make the satipatthana to arise.
I think it's a bit like when it is said that concentration is a proximate cause for awareness and understanding. It's referring to the concentration that arises together with the awareness and understanding. I would consider the tira sanya to be similar, that at moments of awareness and understanding, the sanya is of that strength, that's all. So it's a way of emphasizing that particular mental factor.
Tira means strong. Yeah.
Tai, your question reminds me that you asked a similar question the other day about kusala. What is its role in the development of understanding? And I'd just like to emphasize, in case it wasn't clear, that of course all kinds of kusala are a support for the development of understanding, including kusala performed already in previous lifetimes, because the conditions into which we are born in this lifetime are important as supporting conditions for the development of understanding. The reason we have come across the Dhamma in this lifetime is because of kusala performed in the past, not because of anything we've done in this lifetime or any kusala developed in this lifetime. So in terms of developing understanding, we don't have to think of having more kusala as a condition for developing understanding. The main factors for developing understanding in this lifetime, as we know, are association with the wise person and hearing the true Dhamma and so forth. And if these factors are present, it is because of kusala performed in the past. Thank you.
I'd like to go back to memory, to, well, a different aspect, I suppose. Conventionally, we can talk about people's memory declining, memory loss, etc. Sanya arises with each citta. So when memory loss conventionally is talked about, it's talked about because there appears to be less memory, less ability to remember. Is that because of weaker sanya? I may be mixing apples and oranges. I don't know.
What about if someone is in a coma, mm-hmm. is there sanya at those moments?
Yes.
So we can't say it's weaker or
right.
stronger, like when someone in old age is more and more forgetful, or even for us, we come out and we find we've forgotten to bring our pen, for example. Does it mean that there was weaker sanya? No, it just means that sanya didn't remember what we would like it to remember. But sanya is marking remembering each moment. But if it's remembering some childhood experience instead of where we put our pen, then it's just by conditions for that sanya at that moment to remember a different object. So at each moment. I think when we talk about tirasanya, firm or strong sanya, it's referring to that degree of kusala that sanya has to be to condition the sati of satipatthana of at that moment. But it doesn't mean that if there is wrong view instead at that moment, that the sanya is weaker. It
right.
just
it's
means
the kusala
it
aspect.
Remembers the
yeah.
wrong object.
So there are times when we do things and then actually we don't really know what we are doing. But at the moment, even sanya is marking, but the fact that we don't really know, is it because of ignorance, right? It's because of moha and not because of quick sanya.
We may be cooking and burn the curry and make some mistakes, and it may not be because of moha, it may be because there is tiras, sanya and satipatthana, understanding realities, no thinking about the cooking. So it depends on what there is thinking about at that time.
But at the moment of tirasanya, then it knows very clearly what is the object at that moment.
The reality at that moment, yes. So at that moment, conventionally, there may be a lot of forgetfulness. The curry may be burnt, but there can be enlightenment at that very moment. So it has nothing to do with conventional ideas of weak memory or being forgetful, or like this morning I was swimming and I was meant to be counting the laps and I kept losing count, and because I was reflecting on other things. And but it has nothing to do with whether the memory is strong or weak or kusala or not. It just depends at that moment. Usually memory arises with ignorance and attachment, of course. But even at moments of understanding, conventionally it might be said there was no memory because she tripped up or something. So
yes,
who can say?
Just not from the outside, but from the inside, if there's no really recalling of what exactly happened in the mind, what is the object of the mind, then you can be sure that it's
usually
the moment of
usually just ignorance and attachment most of the time.
Right. And I think that also in the text, they mention about sanya with sati and sanya with panya, like different levels. Like when sanya arises with panya, is compared to carving on the stones, so it's not, it's very, very strong and sure. When there's no sanya, but no panya, but just sati, it's like writing on the sand. And when there's no sati, no panya, it's just like writing on the water. Do you know about that simile? And would you have some comments?
It's that sanya at that moment when you think of other things. Is there sanya at the moment when you think of other things? No
the
doubt
time.
About sanya. Where is sanya? According to conditions. It's now. Who knows sanya? See, together with seeing, hearing, smiling, thinking, whatever citta is there.
And like other mental factors, it can be strong or weak, like at moments of vipassana jnana, when it must be strong. At moments of robbing a bank, strong, but if there's trying to pinpoint or check it, again, it's the wrong way.
And I think the simile you just gave about being carved in stone or written on the sand supports what I said earlier, that tirasanya is a reference to the sanya that arises with understanding and not a kind of sanya that is necessary to have in order to have understanding.
Nothing to do with our daily life understanding of good or bad memory, strong or weak memory. Conventionally, we say someone who can remember all the details has strong memory, but this is nothing to do with sanya.
everything depends on conditions.
Related to the sanya, so I only rest about trees, cetasika, sanya, vedana, and panya. I think I already understand a little bit about conventional term. Maybe if you think it's useful for me, can you help me to understand more about the point is the same or the point is different between panya, sanya, and vijnana? Vijnana. If you think it's useful for me.
So we've been discussing about sanya. So what about vedana? What is vedana now?
Yes.
What is vedana now?
Seeing, hearing.
Vedana?
In seeing, yeah.
Did you ask about vedana, Chetasika?
Yes.
What is vedana?
No, vedana, vijnana.
Oh, vijnana.
Vijnana.
Yeah, vijnana is the same as citta or mano. So seeing is vijnana, hearing is vijnana, each citta is vijnana. It's just another word for citta. Yeah. So but, if we talk about vijnana khanda, it's referring to any kind of citta. Yeah. So each citta is accompanied by sanya. But the citta, the vijnana, is the leader in experiencing. So at a moment of seeing, seeing sees what is visible. It doesn't remember, it doesn't mark, it doesn't feel anything, it just sees, that's all. Yeah. It's the sanya which remembers and marks, it's the vedana which feels neutral at that moment.
You would like to ask whether the panya, sanya, and vijnana difference, right?
I think you're asking about, for example, the simile that we read about and what is known. So the vijnana just experiences the object. It doesn't know anything about it. It doesn't remember anything about it. It just experiences the object as it is. So at a moment of understanding, for example, the citta doesn't understand the reality. It experiences the hardness, for example. It's the leader in experiencing it. And at that moment, the sanya marks and remembers it. It remembers that this is hardness. It marks it for future reference, and that marking at that moment is accumulated because it has remembered in the past that this is hardness, that object. At this moment, it remembers it is hardness again. And it's the panya at that moment which understands the characteristic, the nature of it. The sanya doesn't remember anything. The citta doesn't understand anything. Only the panya understands this is hardness, that reality, not self. This is the function of panya, to illuminate, to make it light, to make it clear. But without citta and without sanya, panya couldn't arise.
Ajahn, my Shun, he's in lab some days ago, he gave me a question and asked Ajahn. Ajahn, the word of the Buddha teaching about the reality condition for the understanding of no self. So his question is, what is the difference between thinking about no self and understanding of no self? Thinking about non-self and understanding of non-self.
Thinking is thinking, that's all.
you can think without understanding. Or when there's understanding, it depends what level.
Like same as thinking like others and thinking about non-self, just thinking.
If there is the thinking about no one in this room, is that you?
No.
So what is that?
It's thinking.
How much understanding is there at the moment of thinking about no one here? Or just repeat, or just as a reminder?
Just remember what heard before.
Okay, what is seen? There is seeing
Chitta.
Right now. What is experienced or seen? See, it's here and now, the understanding of what is seen. It's different from thinking when you heard what is seen. But what is seen here, now?
In reality, it's the visual object.
You call it.
Yeah.
See, but that is a level of understanding of the words. But not the moment of understanding the characteristic which is not self.
Right.
So there can be thinking about anything, but it depends on what level of understanding is there.
There can be thinking now that, for example, all Dhammas are not self, right? Would that thinking be kusala?
Thinking be, you mean thinking about the non-self?
Thinking that all Dhammas are not self.
It could be reflection about the realities, but it could be not about attached to what thinking.
So would it be thinking about realities that are appearing now?
Without appearing now?
If there is the thinking that all Dhammas are not self, would that be a thinking about realities that are appearing at the present moment?
Can you...
Right, okay. I'm trying to draw the distinction between... Because Ajahn asked you about seeing an invisible object. I know it's not your question, but anyway, we're
going through this exercise. I represent for...
Yeah. When we are asked what is the object of seeing,
okay. It
may be a condition to reflect on something that is occurring at the present moment, that is appearing at the present moment, right?
Okay.
So it may relate to, it may be kusala, for example.
Okay.
If we just have the idea that all Dhammas are not self, without having any particular Dhamma in mind, for example, then it's just another moment of thinking, isn't it?
Yes.
It may be correct. It is correct because it is part of the teaching, but it would be unlikely that just having that thought was kusala. The difference between thinking and direct understanding, of course, is quite wide.
What usually follows seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching?
And what usually follow thinking?
See, so that must be thinking all day after seeing, hearing, so on.
Okay.
No doubt about thinking. About what? It's thinking. Can seeing think?
No.
Can thinking see?
No.
Very simple question.
Yeah, simple question. But it's based on what we heard about it, right?
And when there is no thinking?
No thinking, it must be over the other sense. Citta arises.
Thinking follows seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Yeah. So when will there be no thinking?
When? At the moment of seeing, hearing, touching.
And what else?
At the moment of on the advert, making deep sleep is not considered as the thinking. Okay. When deep sleep, is it not thinking?
Think about the answer. Is there nothing?
So what is the thinking? That's it, thinking about something, right? And in deep sleep, it has the object with kusala citta, and it I lost this one.
So by questioning, one can understand how much what one heard is understood, especially about the realities, not just the word. It is so natural. And what is, while one is asleep, can there be thinking while one is
sleeping? While sleeping, still dream. So dreaming is thinking.
So when there will be no thinking at all?
Yeah, deep sleep, but yeah, deep sleep, no thinking.
What is that reality, deep sleep?
Bhavanga citta.
In deep sleep, which citta arises when?
I'm just still thinking of Bhavanga classified as thinking, so just classified as no thinking. Because it's the kusala citta, right, for human being. Bhavanga citta with the vipaka with a result of kusala citta. Okay.
Does it experience any object through the mind or process?
Not mind or process. So what is the doorway for the Bhavanga?
What do you think the doorway is? Does it experience an object through the eye door process?
No.
Ear door?
No.
Nose, tongue, body door? And you said not the mind door, so what doorway?
So no door.
No door.
Okay.
So it's the realities which experience an object, not in a process through a doorway, and when it is, when those Bhavanga cittas are interrupted, there is a sense door process or a mind door process.
And in the sense door and mind door processes, which moments of those processes would be thinking moments?
Thinking's in the mind door process after the Bhavanga.
No, we're talking now about sense door and mind door processes. Okay. There are several jittas in a process.
Yeah.
Which ones would be the thinking jittas in those processes?
Over the mind door process. The thinking jitta.
Okay, so it's the javana jittas in the mind door process that are thinking. Kusala or akusala jittas.
Okay, okay.
same in the sense.
Is thinking now kusala or akusala?
Without understanding, so akusala more the time.
It's only words, but the real one has gone completely. That's why it's not known yet until Panya develops.
Is there thinking when there is when the object appears well? I'm not sure. Maybe Ajahn would like to answer.
We have to understand it's now objects appear well. Now. Do all the objects appear well? Kun Roberto, Kun Tam, and everyone appears well or not? It arises and falls away without understanding at all. And when we say that citta experiences the object, it means that the chief just knows what is there, but not understanding its nature as not self, or just a moment or a reality. See, when we use the word well, it does mean that when citta experiences clearly, but it means it appears well because it just arises and falls away in split seconds. So that's why this whisper object does not appear well yet as it is. Because it always appears as someone or something all the time. So it does not appear well in samsara, not just today or now. Is this true? True or not? So actually the Buddha's words come from his enlightenment. It's always beyond expectation. Just one characteristic at a time, not as being of things at all. And whatever appears is only nimitta of reality, not the real one yet.
I have a question, another question from Alan, which is on nimitta, so I just bring it in here. He said, I just want to confirm with regard to direct understanding of reality, even at the level of the first noble truth, this is always the nimitta of reality and not the reality itself. Question. The exception to this is Nibbana and the Lokutra Chitas. Question.
Can one reality appear, just one?
No, it must be the succession of many. And I think he means, perhaps he's referring to, for example, in sense door process, if panya arises, like in an eye door process.
Can the sense door process understand citta?
No, and cannot be vipassana, jnana, just that experience. And is it correct that the only exception is Nibbana and the Lokutra Chittas? Because, of course, Nibbana doesn't have nimitta. The Lokutra Chittas have nimitta. So if Lokutra Chitta is the object of panya,
does Nibbana arise?
No.
So can it have nimitta?
No. But the Magga and Pala Chittas arise, so they have nimitta. So
that's the only moment.
Only moment, only. Yes. Yeah. For example, when it is the reviewing consciousness after enlightenment and those Lokutra Chittas are the object, then it still must be nimitta of those chittas because actually they've fallen away.
when it's not only one, it must be nimitta.
Many.
So we live in the world of nimitta, depending on whether Panya understands it or not. Is it good to know that one does not know enough yet? Not enough yet. Never enough until all kilesas are completely eradicated, absolutely. That's why the Buddha said, don't cling to that which is gone and that which hasn't come yet. Only what appears now can be developed to higher or more understanding. Is there clinging when one thinks of one's own dreaming at night? See, still wake up and think about it. What about the past moment and the future moment?
Dreaming all day. Mm-hmm. Dreaming about the past, the future, about the other dreams. Sunyat each moment, so even the one who seems forgetful in old age, still there is dreaming about dreams and dreaming about the past, the future, just like now.
Is it accurate to say that the difference between dreaming at night and the dream we all live during the day, the difference is that there's no sense door processes during the night, then when you're asleep, but there's still sanya, and there must at times also be vedana, because we can wake up shocked during a dream.
Vedana each moment.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah. Whether dreaming or experiencing the sense doors, vedana at each moment.
So talking about dream, we know that in the suttas, sometime it mention about deva, the devata, they inform someone through their dreams about something that will happen. So I just wonder how it could happen.
When you say you wonder how, what are you asking exactly?
In terms of realities.
Would have to be concept.
It had to
what
be.
What happens when?
When it is said that the beings in the devata world can appear in a dream and inform the person of something. So what is the reality?
But how could it happen? Like.
How does it happen?
Yeah. No matter what, it's just that which thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that which thinks, that is the dream. Yeah. So usually thinking is conditioned in this dream of consciousness. So I don't know, maybe the deva do something that...
Is that not seeing and thinking, hearing and thinking? Or think without seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Just thinking. Mm-hmm. Not I who dreams about Devra.
Mm-hmm.
At all. And actually what is Devra? Only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And when reality appears, is there any realm?
No.
That's why we talk about the realm of citta, the level of citta, bhumi of citta.
Mm-hmm. Bhumi of citta?
Kama bhumi, mm-hmm. Thinking about that. Rupa bhumi, arupa bhumi, and lokutra bhumi.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are many objects that can be experienced through the mind door that can't be experienced through the sense doors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's the only answer we can give.
Okay.
We know that citta is like the magician conjuring up whatever can be imagined without any limit. Anything can be imagined or dreamt about.
I'm just thinking, but it's gone. Not sure. Because we mentioned about the thinking. So thinking, we're talking about it over the mind, right? On the citta over the mind, we call it thinking. Because in the Bhavanga citta, it also have the root, like adosa, aloba. And the other kusala citta also have. So, and it have no door for Bhavanga to arise, and thinking have a door to arise. But the number of like citta-sika, or even at the moment of the citta arise, and also the object, it's quite similar. So how we say the Bhavanga citta, not the thinking, and the thinking over the mind door is the thinking, or just the concept of classifies. You got my point, right?
Actually, it depends how you're defining thinking. When we're talking like now, and we're saying, like in the, while dreaming is just thinking, or in the mind door process is thinking, but not in the sense door. This is one meaning of thinking that we're using generally. But if you want to be precise and start talking about vitakka citta-sika, for example, then you have to consider when vitakka arises. So vitakka arises immediately after seeing, even in the sense door process and in the mind door processes, and even with those bhavanga cittas which arise with those wholesome roots. So it depends how you are defining thinking. That's why when one's more and more precise, one considers the actual dharmas and when they arise. And actually, vitakka arises with every citta, except for seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and some jhana cittas. So even with bhavanga cittas.
It might also, I don't know if this is helpful, but bhavanga citta, life continuum.